Hey, everybody. We're back and more alcoholic than ever. I'm Logan, and with me today is Tommy, Andrew, and Artem. And this week, we're talking about those less known conferences than the Power Four, the G5. We're going to go ahead and hit the G-spot, talk about, we've each got our own conference to discuss. So I'm going to kick it off right now, if nobody else minds. I think Artem's trying to eat. Artem, leave the dog alone, man. I'm sorry. I don't know what you're doing to that dog, man, but it looks like a torture chamber over there. I'm going to kick it off. We're going to talk about my Ohio Bobcats and how they're going to dominate the MAC football schedule. So the MAC was actually pretty one-sided last year with Western Michigan kind of taking over every there. But for those of you who are not familiar, MACtion is magic. There's actually a lot of competition, especially in the West Division. NIU's been very dominant. There's a big rivalry between Central Michigan and Western Michigan. And the East has been a little more sporadic over the past few years, but there's been a lot of competition bouncing in and out, mostly between Bowling Green and Ohio, with a little bit interspersed between Kent. So frankly speaking, I really love the Ohio Bobcats. There's no real logical reason for it. I've loved them since way back when, and I do believe they are a very good team. Despite playing in the MAC, they've actually got a pretty good schedule. They're playing a lot of Power Four teams. They got at Purdue. They've got a bye week on their third game of the season. And then they go on the road to Eastern Michigan. So I think there's a lot working out for Ohio in that situation. On the other side, you've got NIU. I think they will also do very well this year. They've got a little bit of a tougher schedule. They're returning a lot more players. But I think they could potentially challenge. My expectation, though, is for Ohio to end up winning the conference, probably in a conference championship against NIU. And I know Artem's got his favoritism towards NIU, but I think for the most part, that's how I expect things to play out. I don't see anything any different. So with that, anybody got anything else to say regarding that or my two chins? Okay, fine. Tommy, go ahead. Okay, Artem, go ahead.
I think you shouldn't count out NIU. Last year, they came back from a 21-point deficit after having three quarterbacks down. They had their fourth-string guy, and they came back and won the game 31-21 at the end of the season. I think this year they're going to come back and they're going to be a little better because they'll have their starters back. Their starter got hurt, and the next guy got hurt. The third guy got hurt last year, so it'll be interesting to see what they're able to do with Hare, who's actually coming back off two seasons now, trying to be the starter. So I think they'll be good this year. I think that coach, if you look at their recruiting classes, I think they recruit in the bottom 100 every single year, yet they compete. I think last time they won the MAC was 2015. So considering that, I think he develops players really well, and it'll be good to see what they can do with a starting quarterback that's actually good.
Yeah, like I said, NIU, they're pretty good. They're going to lose to Ohio in the conference championship. Got it. All right. Tommy, what were you going to say?
Nothing. You're talking about the MAC. We all know it's magic. That's all you need to know.
Fair enough. All right. With that, Artem, you were just speaking. Fine. Andrew, say something.
I said the other MAC team I think you really need to look out for, the Miami Redhawks. They're the first team in the history of college football to go 0-6 to start the season and win their last six games to make a bowl game. Then they followed it up with a 1-point loss to Mississippi State in the St. Petersburg Bowl. They returned 16 starters on a team that really started to click late in the season, including the starting quarterback. So I think that's a team you really have to look at in their side of the MAC as definitely a competitor with the Ohio Bobcats. Unfortunately, they have to travel to Athens, Ohio to play the Bobcats. So that might be a tough game. And I believe that's a game on Halloween. So that may be one that we need to look out for in the MAC this year.
I'm actually pretty excited about that. I mean, honestly, I like a lot of these end-of-the-year MAC matchups anyway because they're just fun, they're close, they're shootouts. There's not a ton of defense in that conference. I think that it's like watching a power conference game, except there's just a little less talent. So, but it's always fun to watch those play out. Honestly, there are a bunch of competitors in there. I mean, Artem brought up NIU. I think Western Michigan and Central Michigan also got pretty good shots of being challengers in the West. I think in the East, again, there's a lot less diversity, but there are a lot of teams and players that are out there to prove themselves. I just don't think they're going to beat Ohio. Anyway, Artem, we're going to – wait, Tommy, you got something to say too? Or okay. Artem, will you please talk about the Sun Belt?
Sun Belt. Not a lot going on in the Sun Belt. Really looking forward to Appalachian State to almost upsetting somebody this year again. That was fun to watch the last couple of years, and hopefully it'll be this year. There's a lot of kind of different things going on in the conference just because it's very interesting to look at. You had Georgia State, who hasn't been around the football world for too long. They went from going to a bowl game to not making a bowl game with a 3-9 season last year. It'll be interesting to see how they come back from that because they're very new. They don't have that historic history of like 100 years, so their fan base is still relatively new. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see if they do have success, if they schedule some of the tougher opponents going forward, like Georgia Tech or potentially Georgia. Going back to Appalachian State, they played Georgia September 2nd. That would be amazing if they beat them. Just funny, mostly. Georgia's, you know, had their couple of run-ins with fun teams like UNT in the past, where they had to take them to fourth quarter to win them. So they don't do well in opening season games, and I'd like to see what Appalachian State does there. Going back to Georgia State, like I said, I think they have a lot of personnel coming back. It'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. Their first season was in 2010, so this is their eighth season. It's only their second time, potentially, they could make a bowl game. Just because they have a lot of personnel coming back. Arkansas State is always a competitor. They've been in the conference the last 2 years. Their coach, Blake Anderson's been there for the last 2 years, so it'll be interesting to see if somebody snags him after this year, if he does really well again. Usually Arkansas State, before Blake Anderson, has lost their head coach several years in a row. So if Belima actually leaves or gets fired from Arkansas, I could see Arkansas making a play for Blake Anderson because he's a homegrown guy, and he's, you know, if he's successful, I think he'll make a play for that position. I do think Arkansas State will dominate the conference. There's not, you know, not a lot of competition right now in the conference itself. There's a lot of kind of low-key players. Then you have the Arkansas State's, Idaho, as well as Troy's. I am interested to see what Texas State does, primarily because I think they had like 30 ACL tears or something crazy last year. They lost like half of their football roster to injury, so they tanked for most of the season after that. This year they're coming back healthy, and it's the second year of their head coach coming back. It'll be good to see what he's able to do with that, Everett Withers. They got their quarterback back, Tyler Jones. Their running backs are both back. These Sun Belt conferences don't have a lot of scholarships, don't have as many scholarships as the Power Four conferences do. But they still compete a lot. You know, they get the guys that are not able to play a Division One at other schools, so sometimes they'll get a good guy. And I think Everett at Texas State, Everett Withers, I think he's going to build up a program hopefully in the next 3 to 4 years that's relatively consistent in competing. Just because they are in the state of Texas, and there's a lot of talent that doesn't go to the big schools like A&M or U of H. And they need to go somewhere else, you know, either first classic reasons or some sort of crimes they committed so they can't make it to real schools. I think we haven't heard a lot about ULM, Louisiana Monroe, recently. I remember 2-3 years ago, they had near upsets against teams like Georgia, Auburn, big SEC schools. I'm hoping to make a comeback this year. They're kind of one of those schools that take a little bit of time to build up their teams, and then they're competitive 3-4 years in. So I think they'll be able to compete for that this year. That's pretty much it from the top tier teams. I don't really expect anything out of Little Rock, Georgia Southern, Coastal Carolina. Raging Cajuns will have a down year. They were pretty good last year, but they lost some personnel to graduation. UT Mavericks, South Alabama. I think South Alabama actually gave Tennessee fits last year. So it'll be interesting to see what they have for us this year as far as interesting things. They open up against Ole Miss, then they play Oklahoma State. So it'll be hilarious to see if they can hold off either of those teams in the first half. And if they can, we might have some fun games to watch.
Well, I know for one that I'm insulted that you discounted the U.S. of A, University of South Alabama. But I think you've got some other critics, especially over there. I didn't see Tommy jump out of his seat, but Andrew, I think you've got some thoughts to share.
So South Alabama beat Mississippi State last year, which is always a great win for a program like that. You know, I do think Arkansas State and Appalachian State have to be the favorites. They've got the teams with the most coming back, and especially Scott Satterfield at App State has really put together a great program, as Anderson has at Arkansas State. But really the two teams that are most interesting to me are the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, who will be playing their first season in FBS football after moving up from the FCS level. And they brought in an offensive coordinator, a guy named Jamie Chadwell, who was the head coach at Charleston Southern, who ran a really interesting two-back gun spread option to a lot of success when he was at Charleston Southern. So I'm really interested to see what he's able to turn that into at Coastal. And along that line with new offensive coordinators, Georgia Southern went out and hired Brian Cook, who was the quarterback B-backs coach at Georgia Tech, who's got a lot of history in that option flexbone veer offense that Georgia Southern loves to run, that they won 6 national titles with at the FCS level. But from what I've heard and seen about camp down there, they've done a lot more of what Coach Cook did at Cal Poly, a lot of gun, a lot of trap, a lot of, you know, arcing tackles and stuff like that. So those are two teams that whether they win or lose, I'm really interested to try to find ways to watch their games just to see what they do on offense, because those are definitely two offensive coordinators, I think, if they can have some success here, have a chance to be some up-and-coming guys that some programs start to look at.
All right. Tommy, you got anything to add?
Not really. I really don't know a whole lot about that conference, to be honest.
I do hope that Georgia Southern beats Auburn on the road, but I think that's more of a pipe dream than anything else. All right, Andrew, you ready to go?
So the Mountain West is an interesting conference because they have two divisions, the Mountain Conference and the West Conference.
No. Tell me more. Right?
You know, all these other conferences make. But it's funny because when you look at the conferences, it's really heavy towards one side, because you have the Mountain Conference that has Boise State, Colorado State, Wyoming, Air Force, and New Mexico, who are all bowl teams who made bowl games last year. You know, and then you jump over to the West Conference, where it's San Diego State, who's really kind of dominated that division. You've got a resurgent Hawaii under Nick Rolovich, who made a bowl game last year. Now, I have to ask this question. If you're Hawaii and you go to the Hawaii Bowl, is it really a bowl game? Because you're not really going anywhere. You're playing in the same stadium you play your home games in. You know, I mean, I'm sure the kids love it, and it's great to get the extra practice, but is it really a bowl game?
You're still in Hawaii. It's definitely a bowl game.
My question is...
True, but if I've learned anything from native Hawaiians, it's that living in Hawaii is completely different than visiting Hawaii.
Yeah, I was about to say, the question becomes, you know, is it worth staying in Hawaii? I don't know.
You know, there's been a lot of coaching turnover on the west side. I want to say both Fresno State and Nevada are breaking in new coaches. You know, so that's going to be kind of your questions on that side of it. You know, I think Wyoming, in my mind, is a team you've got to start to look out for. They've got an NFL prospect caliber quarterback in Josh Allen, who really had a great year last year and put up some good numbers. And then you've got your old standby, Boise State. You know, Brett Rippon has really been a good player since he's been a freshman there. They lost a lot on both sides of the ball that they have to bring back. So those two, I think Wyoming and Boise State, kind of have to be your favorites. You know, I don't want to say nice things about Colorado State because I hate Mike Bobo with every fiber of every part of my soul, but he's actually done a pretty good job out there rebuilding that program and winning some games. And then you've got Troy Calhoun at Air Force and Bob Davies at New Mexico, who are very option-based, run-heavy coaches who have really kind of created a niche for themselves in what they can do. You know, Air Force, especially last year, won the Commander-in-Chief trophy, having beaten Army and Navy to win it for the first time in a couple of years. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, I think Boise State, if we're going to pick a dark horse playoff team out of the Mountain West, Boise State has got to be the team in my mind that would have a shot. But unfortunately, I don't think we're to the point that we see a G5 yet.
Not this year, certainly. Anybody got anything else to add? I'm gonna take that as a no. So, Tommy, I'm going to let you talk about the second most well-known conference named after America, Conference USA.
Yeah, so Conference USA has an East and a West division, like almost everybody else. If you look in the East division, really Western Kentucky is and the favorite to win that, but Old Dominion and Middle Tennessee State both have a shot. All three teams are returning some good players, and they should be pretty competitive, and it's really those three competing. Marshall, FIU, FAU, and Charlotte are all kind of on the back burner teams that have been struggling recently. And really through most of their program. Marshall's interesting because they're coming off a 3-9 year after winning 10 games the year before, so it'll be interesting to see if they're a flip-floppy type team. But it doesn't look like they have the talent to really keep up with the other three. In the West side, it's definitely a little bit easier because Louisiana Tech's going in. That's just pretty much how it is over there. North Texas, Rice, Southern Miss, UTEP and UTSA don't stand a chance. That being said, the actual most important story in the West Division is the fact that UAB has a football team again. So they've been gone since 2014, and they're coming back. So it'll be really cool to see them. They've actually rebuilt their program from the ground up using the same coach that they had in 2014, which is really interesting. They should have their stadium done by their first home game on September 9th, like a $26 million stadium they built for this, as well as they have a covered indoor practice facility. So after saying they had no money and couldn't support the program, all of a sudden they built a brand new stadium and practice facility. So go figure. Be interesting to see what they do. Not a lot of expectations. Building a program from the ground up is definitely hard, but it definitely will be intriguing to watch that. The other interesting thing about Conference USA is that the unofficial week one, August 26th, only one team is playing, and that's Rice, who's actually hosting Stanford. So go explain that to me. That makes no sense.
They're hosting
in Texas.
They're hosting Stanford.
I guess, but Stanford is going to Rice week one, and they are the only Conference USA team.
No. That's misleading. They're not going to Rice. They're going to Sydney, Australia.
That would be why. So
my Texas recruiting statement makes no sense.
Yeah, no, but there's a lot of good punters in Australia. If LSU has taught me anything.
Hey. Georgia Tech had a second round pick defensive tackle from the great country of Australia. Shout out Adam Gotsis. You're a friend of the pod. I know you are.
Australia is a great place. I mean, they breed like I don't want to say winners, but survivors. What with how everything will kill you out there. So yeah, there's a lot of winningness out there. Anyway, so sorry we got off track, Tommy. Louisiana Tech out of the West. UAB is in existence. What else am I missing?
And Western Kentucky's probably going to win the East, but look out for ODU and Middle Tennessee State.
All right. Anything else to add, anybody?
Middle Tennessee State ain't nothing to fuck with.
Are they? So maybe this is throwing me off the color scheme, but are they purple now? Like, I'm looking at this helmet schedule, and they look...
No, they're still the Blue Raiders. They're white and blue.
Yeah, maybe they just screwed up the color palette. I don't know what the deal is with that.
So I think UTSA is actually going to be good this year. I know Tommy kind of mentioned that they're going to get beat, but I think they're going to start playing a lot better. They went 5-3, 6-7 overall last year, but I remember watching the game against Arizona State, and I kind of gave him fits going into the fourth quarter. Arizona State had to have some players pretty much step up and kind of win that game for them. Kind of watching that game too, I think they're building a new stadium, and it's a big market for them. What they were trying to sell, there's absolutely no other schools in San Antonio that play football, and it's a big area that's uncovered. So that's pretty much their whole area to recruit and sell. I think they were using somebody else's stadium at the time, but there was a lot of fans for such a smaller, not as well-known school. But I think their fan base is growing. They're investing a lot. Their coach is a second-year coach, and their quarterback's coming back, Eric Sosa. I had to look his name up, but I remember watching him. He was, he's not very tall. He's 6 foot. He's definitely a tough fighter, and he played really well against Arizona State. I kind of look for them to burst out this year. But we'll see. It's a guess.
Me. All right. Anything else to add, anybody? Okay, well, this would normally be the part of the podcast where Nigel talks about the American Conference, but Nigel's in the process of protesting everything American right now, so he's not here. So we'll talk about it. We'll just spread the love around a bit. Tommy, I'll let you start off because I haven't done any research about them. I like East Carolina's color scheme, but other than that, I don't really know much about the American Conference. What are your thoughts this year for the American Conference? All right, since Tommy has put himself on mute accidentally, I'll let Andrew start off. Andrew, what are your thoughts about the American Conference?
You know, the favorite in the American, in my mind, has got to be South Florida. You know, it is a new head coach with Charlie Strong, who I'm, to my grave, will be a fan of Charlie Strong. I think he's a great coach. I think he does the right way. I think he just went into a toxic situation at Texas, and they just didn't give him the time he needed to really rebuild that program from the ground up. I think South Florida is a great landing spot for him. I think one of the big things he did is he brought Brian Jean-Marie with him, who's a fantastic Florida recruiter. He's going to be the defensive coordinator this year, which is a big step up for Coach BJ. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of a 3-3-5 or 4-2-5 style defense. And then, I mean, Quentin Flowers is an unbelievable quarterback for them. A great arm, great feet, makes all the plays you need him to make. I mean, he's player of the year preseason the conference in my mind. And I wouldn't really be surprised if USF just absolutely ran away with it. You know, I mean, their division, they get Central, Temple, Cincinnati, UConn, and East Carolina, and none of those teams really strike fear into me as a coach. You know, I think USF is the team. You know, then when you jump to the West, Memphis is supposed to be better. Memphis isn't a team that I'm really sold on. I think it's going to be Houston. I think Major Applewhite isn't going to miss too much of a beat from the Tom Herman years. You know, I think he's got some experience. I think he's going to be able to really keep them rolling, keep them running, keep doing what they need to do. You know, I think he fits there. Unfortunately, my favorite darling American team, the United States Naval Academy midshipmen, I think are in for a rough year. They lost a lot of starters. They're really young at some places. We saw Zach Abney in the Army-Navy game, didn't really do a lot, couldn't really hold the football. Navy got kind of beat up towards the end of the year. You know, unfortunately, I think they're going to take a step back, which, you know, for Navy means they might win, you know, 7 games instead of 10. But, yeah, you know, that kind of hurts me because I am a huge Navy guy. I'm a huge Kenny Niumatalolo guy. But, yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to look at a championship for that conference, it's going to be USF and Houston. And in my mind, the team with the best chance to make the playoffs as a G5 team has got to be South Florida. You know, they've got a fairly easy schedule, which unfortunately is going to hurt them. You know, their out-of-conference schedule is San Jose State, Stony Brook, and UMass. So they'd have to run the table, and they really wouldn't beat anybody. And they'd probably need some chaos. But if you're going to pick a G5 playoff contender, it's got to be South Florida.
That big rivalry game against UConn might score them some points, but we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of parity. I mean, obviously, it's not at the same level, but there's a lot more parity in this conference than there was last year when I think everybody was just expecting Houston to dominate it. I do think USF is going to do well. Artem, what are your thoughts on the American?
I think SMU is going to surprise everybody this year. I think they were able to hang with a lot of teams last year in the first half, including TCU and Baylor. This is a third year for Chad Morris, who, if you look at Clemson right now, he was the offensive coordinator, QB coach there for about 3 years. So I would say the playoff win you saw was partly his creation, just because he recruited most of those guys. He recruits Texas well, and he's been recruiting the last two classes. I think he's finally building up some depth on both lines. If you looked at them last year, they just didn't have the mass to hang with the big boys. They had a lot of freshmen playing, a lot of true freshmen playing, and they just didn't have the mass to pass rush, block, things like that. But they did beat Houston last year, which is a surprise. For the life of me, I don't remember. What's his name? They have a wide receiver who's amazing. Somebody help me out.
Sorry, I'm not up on my wide receivers from... You know, not great conferences. No offense.
Well, first of all, they got Deion Sanders Jr., which is awesome. But last year they had a guy. Come back to me. I'm going to find him.
Okay. While we're waiting, Tommy, are you not muted?
I may or may not be on mute right now.
Okay, well, since you are currently not on mute, do you want to go ahead and start talking about the American Conference?
Sure. I mean, I think Andrew's right. It's USF's conference to lose at this point. Actually, if you look at 2016, I think the funniest description of them that I ever heard was USF was the league's best team. It just forgot to actually win the conference title. Which pretty much sums up what they are. And replacing... Willie Taggart with Charlie Strong, have a coach being scooped up by a big name program, and bringing in a replacement. I think they actually got an upgrade, which is really hard to do. I do want to talk about just the coach in general across the American, for being a group of five conference. They've done an incredible job just with who they have at coaching. I know Artem was talking about SMU. Chad Morris was a great pickup. He did great things for Clemson and really set them onto the path that they are now. You've got Niumatalolo at Navy, who's just constantly been able to do well without a whole lot. And just across the board, tons and tons of guys. They're pretty much the first conference that everybody goes to start picking coaches from. And yet they just seem to keep replacing with good coaching. I mean, Houston picking up Major Applewhite, even though it is his first season, definitely think was a good pickup and should do well, especially with kind of the defensive focus that Houston really seems to be building their program around. So top to bottom should be an interesting conference to watch. Definitely one where anybody can win any week. The American typically proves to do that. The only weeks that people can't win is pretty much anybody but Houston playing against USF. I don't think that's really going to happen this year.
No, nothing personal, but I hope Houston crashes and burns this year. just because of the garbage people they employ. Back to the important team, SMU. Eric Sutton is the kid's name, and he's rumored he can't leave after this year, but he's a big guy, and I think he's gonna do big things. He's gonna come back and he's gonna be a high draft pick, top five, I guess, a year from now. He can't leave after this year. They got most of their offensive line coming back. All their wide receivers are back. The only person they're missing is their running back. So last year they had a true freshman QB who lost them a couple games just because he was making bad decisions. But Eric Sutton will lead them to a couple more wins, probably a win over Houston again.
All right. Well, I think we have all had our full say on the American. So the last teams that we haven't talked about this year would be the Independents. I think we didn't really talk about this beforehand. We wanted to split it up to each of us a different team, but I didn't really think that through. Tommy, but anyway, I'll just kind of throw them out there as I go along. So, Tommy, I believe you wanted to talk about UMass. Tommy, you're on mute.
Yeah, so I guess I drew the short straw here. UMass being independent is one of those that just doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it's just because they can't find someone willing to pick them up. But they definitely have some things to start building on. Brown, their defensive coordinator, definitely is somebody who knows how to play at or coach at some smaller knit programs. There's not a whole lot to say about UMass. They're probably not going to win too many games. They're probably going to lose to Hawaii and ODU and Temple and Tennessee and Ohio. Coastal Carolina, they have a shot, but I mean, they can pretty much go into their bye week not winning one. And outside of really Maine, that's pretty much the only team on the back half of their schedule where they have a shot at. So,
Tommy, how dare you? How dare you, sir? UMass has a great shot at winning at least two games? Yeah, two games. To be fair, they don't even get Maine at home. They get Maine at Fenway Park, which is really cool in concept, but I imagine it would be pretty terrible to actually play a football game there. Hard to say.
Yeah, can we talk about how I gave them two potential wins, and in the past two seasons, they've won two wins? So I thought I was being pretty optimistic.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, I guess you're more optimistic than we were about Kansas, so that's something. I don't know. Anyway, I'll go ahead and skip to Andrew, since I at least know which team he wants to talk about out of the Independents. Take it away, Andrew. You want the Army Academy.
First of all, the official name is United States Military Academy.
Yep,
the
that's what I said.
The name they told us to use as members of the news media is Army West Point.
That's,
and I'm going to respect that.
That's what I said, the Army Academy. God.
You know, it was a really good season for Jeff Munkin, who's been on somewhat of a hot seat at Army because he's really had to try to rebuild from some of the mistakes. You know, they beat Navy for the first time in – since 2001, you know, they had the most wins in 20 years. You know, Munkin's really starting to build a program along the lines of Navy. You know, he's been able to recruit a little bit better, bring in some guys into Army that maybe normally wouldn't have looked at Army or had interest in playing at Army, and has created a winning culture there, which is probably one of the hardest things that coaches have to change when they end up dealing with programs that have a strong losing tradition, unfortunately, that Army has had in the current times. You know, one of the guys that I'm really excited about is Ahmad Bradshaw, the quarterback that started against Navy last year. He's got a couple of years in the offense. He really understands what his job is in terms of distributing the ball, in terms of getting it to where it needs to go. You know, they were number two in the country running the ball last year, which that's really what Army wants to do. And they bring back six of their leading ball carriers from last year. So there's really not a bunch of huge changes that they have to make to really keep going where they're going. And like I said, I think Munkin has done a good job in really transforming that culture in Army. And I think he's a guy that if we can keep winning and keep winning, you know, they've got some tough games. They get to play Duke, which I really hope they beat Duke because they should have beaten them last year. But they've got some winnable games. You know, unfortunately, they do have to travel to Ohio State, which is going to be, unfortunately, bad for them. You know, RIP Army. You know, they also have to go to Air Force, so I'm not sure how high I am on their chances of winning the Commander-in-Chief trophy for the first time in a long time. But as we saw last year, you know, they finally kind of got that Navy monkey off of their back. So I think Army's got a good chance to really build on the 8-win season that they had last year.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, jump out of the way to say that they're going to be, you know, an amazing team, but they, I think with the schedule they've got, they're certainly going to make a bowl game. And they've got a very good chance of beating Navy again this year. Artem, I'm going to let you choose. You got two religious schools. You got the Mormons and you got the Catholics. Which one are you going to side with?
Shoot, neither. They were both disappointing last year. Hopefully they both kind of bounce back a little bit. I'm going to talk about BYU a little bit more just because I saw more of their games. I think they got a couple guys coming back. I think they're going to be exciting to watch. Their coach kind of adopted the Tennessee winning at life mentality, and he was all about just go out there and have fun on the football field. Don't worry about it. And surprisingly, they actually won him a couple games last year. They were in a couple close games. Again, one of them was against Mississippi State. And they did really well. They got most of their guys back this year, so that'll be really fun to watch.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I think they'll have some good matchups, and they'll have definitely some entertaining matchups. They should get at least six, especially on the back end. They do have a lot of fun ones early on, especially LSU, Utah, and Wisconsin. Luckily, they get all of those. Well, they get most of those at home. They get LSU in Houston, Texas, which is a little different. But hey, maybe Artem, maybe you can make it out to see that one. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. They play LSU. They always play Utah, but this time they play them really early in the season. Wisconsin, Boise State, Mississippi State. Those are going to be some interesting, fun games to watch. See how well they do.
Yeah, the real tipping point, the one that's really going to help identify, is probably East Carolina. But we'll see how that plays out. So I get the fun school.
I'm mildly interested to see how those Mormons adapt to being in Starkville, Mississippi.
Starkville, they have to go to Death Valley.
They don't go to Death
Valley. Oh, no, they play them at home. They play interesting.
Starkville's a very interesting place.
Well, no. BYU doesn't play LSU at home. They play LSU in Houston, Texas at NRG Stadium, which is what, the Texan Stadium, or is it the basketball court?
No. Is it Texas? Well, I mean, they've hosted a Final Four in the Texan Stadium, which is the NERG. So,
yeah, that confused the crap out of me. But yeah, they're playing in the NERG, so they're going to be at the Texan Stadium. But no, I mean, it's going to be a loud environment, surely. But I don't think it'll be any worse than playing Utah in the Holy War. So we'll see. All right, I don't like Notre Dame. I don't like talking about Notre Dame. I don't like Notre Dame in general. I guess the one positive thing I can say about Notre Dame is I really hope they're going to beat Georgia, but they probably won't.
Since you won't talk about Notre Dame, I'll talk about them for you.
Fine. Okay.
Notre Dame had a really interesting offseason if you kind of look at it. They lost to Sean Kizer at quarterback, and the guy who's coming up behind him is a sophomore, Brandon Wimbush, who is just like all the other Notre Dame quarterbacks we've talked about recently. All the physical tools are there, but he hasn't really produced on the field like we expect from the Notre Dame of old. So really interesting to see. The guy had his entire freshman year to kind of sit and watch and learn, which if we look at some of the other successful programs, sometimes that's a good thing, and you don't ruin a kid by throwing him out there his freshman year. Also good for him. They're returning four starters on their offensive line, including both their left tackle and left guard, who should be first round draft picks. So he should have some good protection up there. Good way to kind of ease into the season. But the most interesting thing is that Notre Dame decided to overhaul their entire coaching staff, which I guess really isn't interesting with Brian Kelly because he blames everybody but himself. But their hires were definitely interesting to look at because For offense, they brought in Chip Long, who was the offensive coordinator at Memphis. So poor Memphis lost Fuente and Long in the same year. So that's kind of rough. But Chip Long, definitely interesting. Not a big name hire, but definitely likes to throw the ball a lot. So it should be good to see what he can do with some more top-level talent. And then probably the most underrated hire of the year is Mike Elko, who is a defensive coordinator at Wake Forest, which I know it's Wake Forest, but they actually had one of the top 20 defenses last year in 2016, and he pretty much built that himself. So definitely interesting to see what happens there. Interesting to see if they don't succeed, if Brian Kelly just fires them again and somehow manages to keep the position just by firing coordinators. Didn't really work out for Charlie Strong at Texas, but Brian Kelly seems to somehow keep his job regardless of what happens just by scapegoating.
All aspiring managers, take note of what I did just there. I got to a point where I convinced Tommy to do the work for me without even really having to put effort in. So there you go. That's just keep track of that in the future if you want to move up in the world. Yeah, I mean, I think Notre Dame's got a lot of potential, but it's all mostly a year or two down the road. They're still struggling, and the schedule is kind of rough for them. But I think they will be fun to keep an eye on, as always. And I'm betting that somewhere down the line, because of the way the media works, they'll end up in the top 25 with like three or four losses somewhere down the line. We'll see what happens. Anyway, I think that's it, everybody. Did we miss any major teams? Okay, well, cool. I got to watch some Dragons, so we're going to wrap it up. Thanks, as always, to all of our listeners out there. We wouldn't be who we are without you and alcohol contributing. If you got any requests, send us an email at toemeatleather@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to mention it on our cast. As always, thanks for listening, and have a good rest of your week. Bye-bye.